Get ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch
out! Welcome, bodybuilding, fitness, and figure fans around the world, to another two-hour episode of Heavy Muscle Radio with the Muscle Heads. My name is John Romano, and I'm joined by my larger-headed compatriot, Dave Palumbo. Dave, I'd have to start off this show by wishing you an early happy birthday.
Yeah, I know. I'm officially now in the 40s. You know, yes, last year was the big 4-0. That really doesn't count. I still consider that the 30s. Now I'm 41, so I guess I'm considered a 40-year-old now.
Yeah, well, considering I'm almost a 50-year-old, it's not so bad.
I went to a friend of mine's wife's 40th birthday party last night. And, you know, all my friends there are in, like, they're 44, 45. Like, they're closer to 50 than to 40 now. And I don't know where the time has gone. I really don't.
I don't either, man. I'm still, like, 18 inside.
Well,
especially my newfound test levels.
You know, Jeff, we got Jeff a car this past weekend. And he got a – what'd you get, Jeff?
It's a 2004 Dodge Neon SXT.
Yeah.
A little turbo in there, John, so I could do some damage.
It's a four-cylinder turbo.
Oh, it is really a turbo?
I don't think so. He was having a lot.
It says turbo.
I think it's hysterical to put those macho letters after a Dodge Neon.
It actually is it's a pretty cool-looking car, actually, to tell you the truth. Considering Jeff didn't have a license 6 months ago, this is pretty good for him.
It's awesome.
Now, you know, when he was backing out of the spot, you know, at my friend's shop where he bought the car, unbeknownst to himself and me, he must have backed into one of our friend's cars, because my friend Dave called me up on the phone and he's like, "Your buddy, he hit my friend's car." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "I got him on the surveillance camera." So Jeff got into his first accident within 30 seconds of owning the car.
And it's on camera.
And it's on camera, nonetheless.
Good going, Jeff.
Hey, man, it wasn't my fault. Like, you know, Poncho, the guy that he has hired over there to pull the freaking car into the spot, it was like a can opener space, you know? What the heck am I supposed to... You know what? I think that was by design. All right? So like, I just want to apologize to the guy and say, next time I will have Poncho pull it out for me so that, you know, I won't have to hit anything.
Well, you know, when you don't drive for like 10 years, John, sometimes you get a little rusty, too, so...
Well, now Colette's pretty hard on the equipment, too, isn't she?
Well, yeah, Colette's got a new car now, so it's mark-free. It doesn't have any – as far as I'm concerned, I mean, she's had it for 2 weeks. I haven't really inspected it lately. Colette, how's the car doing?
It's doing pretty good. I definitely enjoy driving that stick shift, even though people thought I wouldn't be able to drive one. I've proved them all wrong.
Well, you drove my old M3. You had no problem with that, right?
Yes, I did, until I tore up the rim parking in the Roosevelt Field Mall, Dave, that you didn't have to know about till weeks after the event.
She just doesn't understand that you have to downshift to slow the car down, John. She just hits the clutch and applies the brakes.
Oh, God.
No, I've gotten much better, Dave. I've gotten much better.
I love downshifting. I mean, in my car, it's like my favorite thing to do, because, you know, you got a rev match and, you know... That down idle. I love the way that sounds.
Yeah. Well, you know, Colette actually, I found out, unbeknownst to me, that I've been using that word a lot in this radio show, but she took out a life insurance policy on me, because my when I called my insurance broker to get Jeff a policy, he told me that, we have a meeting next week for that life insurance. I said, "What life insurance?" He's like, "Oh, Colette called me when we're setting up a life insurance policy for you."
John, he's turning 41. I get a little nervous. Yeah, I'm a little nervous.
Just make sure your oatmeal tastes normal in the morning.
That's right. That's right. I'm getting a little nervous now. Now, you know, John, we have a great show tonight. As you know, we have big Lou Ferrigno on the show, the Incredible Hulk, one of my idols growing up, and I know a very good friend of yours.
Yes, and you know, while most people, you know, decry Arnold as the impetus for their bodybuilding interests, mine were always Louie, because, you know, I was, you know, the Italian kid from Brooklyn, you know, and so was Louie. So I identified with him, and I actually got to meet him at the R&J Fitness Club
there's, I think it's called the Fitness Club, R&J's gym, or that dungeon with the brown paneling where he filmed that scene in Pumping Iron. And ever since then, man, I was hooked. Louis was it for me. So, I mean, to actually have him, you know, on our show after 30 years of not being able to talk to anybody else but Weider affiliates, we are actually the first bodybuilding entity apart from Weider that's having a live interview with Lou Ferrigno.
That's exciting. Like I said, you know, growing up, I always, you know, wanted to be the Hulk. And then, as you know, later in life, I did become the Hulk on the Conan O'Brien show, even though it was more of a comedy spoof than a real part. But, you know, Lou Ferrigno's an icon in our industry. You know, there's no doubt about that. And the guy's, you know, he's still a bodybuilding fan himself. You know, he used to listen to our old Noble radio show. He yep. reads the magazines. I mean, what bodybuilder in his 50s still does that?
And he still looks amazing. I mean, he still has 20-inch arms. I know. He's incredible looking.
Well, we have a special guest, two special guests in the studio who've been trying their hardest not to make any noise, even though my friend Ray, who left after I told him not to make any noise, was gunning his bike in front of my house. I don't know if you heard that.
No, I missed that.
Oh, you missed that. All right. Well, we have the Smalley brothers in the studio here. And I want to introduce Robbie and Mr. G. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Thank you, John and Dave and Colette and Jeff, the producer, for having us on here today. I was holding my mouth. My brother was kept sticking me with his foot because I was laughing so hard. He was revving that thing. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Ray is not the smartest tack in the box.
Like, he only has one eye. And I think he only has one finger, too. So you can't help it. You know, he has to switch one finger from one side to the other.
You know, I told him, I said, when you leave the house, Ray, I want you to be very quiet. You know, he doesn't take instruction very well. And what does he do? He goes and starts revving his bike in front of my house like a retard.
It's just a never-ending circus around your house.
Now, you know I have a rule, John, that I don't let the Smalley brothers over at the same time. But I made an exception because they wanted to come on the radio show and show their support for us. Mr. G came over with, what would you bring, about 10 boxes of Girl Scout cookies?
Yeah, well, hey, listen. RxMuscle.com, first of all, is not just a bodybuilding website, radio show, and TV show. It's also about the community, you know. And we got to reach out to the community, and we got to support, you know, all the people in the community, you know, and the kids and everything else. So I'm going to support our local Girl Scouts. You know, they're out there selling cookies, and they flagged me down. You know, I actually went by, and I turned around. You know what? I got to go back because everybody always comes over the house and brings a gift for Dave, but they never bring something for Colette. You know, everyone forgets about Colette, so I got some Girl Scout cookies. I know you like peanut butter cookies, so I got
great.
I got these things. They're called tagalongs or tagalongs.
Do you know the rules?
Yeah, they're peanut butter patties. They're chocolate covered.
Chocolate covered with peanut butter, John. This is not good.
He brings a type 1 diabetic cookie.
And then I got Tostitos peanut butter creams, man.
Oh my
god! So here you go, Colette.
Mr. G, way to look out, man. Way to look out.
It's about 4 million units of insulin right there.
Yeah,
where's
just
the bottle
thinking
of Humalog?
She's going to crack open a new bottle of insulin.
Yeah, but Dave has a cheat meal on his diet, so that's her cheat meal.
Thanks,
like my cheat meal. I have like 8,000 calories.
Oh, my God.
Now don't hide those in the neighbor's house because you'll end up breaking an entering.
I know. Dave will be calling him up. You have one phone call. Dave, you don't quite understand. I was doing a neighborly thing, and then...
So Mr. G comes over the house, and he tells me, I got a new Oriental girlfriend and Asian girlfriend.
Asian.
And he's going to have her call in, and he gave her the 800 number. I said, the only problem is, Mr. G, I said, we don't have an 800 number.
What are you talking about? You don't have an 800 number, Dave. Come on. What happened? I thought it was Voice America. You calling 1-800?
Same number. Show, knucklehead.
No, what is it?
Mr. G, we were fired. Don't you remember? That's why we're doing the show in my house right now.
Hey, this is the greatest thing. Look, you remember when Arnold had his first show and he had one booth? He had one booth, and all it was men and women's bodybuilding, right? Now look at it, 21 years later, it's the largest sporting event in the world. RxMuscle.com is going to be the largest, not only website, magazine, largest entertainment entity in the world. Not only are going to cover bodybuilding, but we're going to cover all sports, man. It's going to be the greatest thing ever.
I saw, Mr. G, you have a Q&A, a motivation Q&A on the message boards already that's pretty popular.
Yes, I do. I mean... One of the things about RxMuscle.com that separates it from everything else, it's really about life. It's about getting your body in shape, you know, educating your mind and reading all the things that John writes, all those articles and stuff about your mind. Dave takes care of the body with the diet and the training, and Colette's advice, you know, with the training and stuff for all the women and stuff and all you people who are diabetics. And we also got to take care of the soul. So Mr. G's Extreme Body Makeover thing is about your soul. You know, you either lost your job or got sick, you know, and lost your way. And because of that, your body's completely out of shape. But more importantly, your soul's out of shape. So it's an inside job. We got to change on the inside to change the outside. That's so it's right. About mind, body, and soul.
That's right. Now, Mr. G, will the Smalley brothers be officially making an appearance at the Arnold Classic this year?
Oh, it's unbelievable. My brother pulled it out of his hat like he always does. He's the master, man. Bobby, tell him what you just did. Tell him where you booked us at.
Well, first of all, I'd like to congratulate Dave on his new RX muscle here with John. Congratulations on after that major, major explosion that happened about 2 weeks ago. I covered it late, and I just can't believe it. It's like a death in the family.
Bobby, you need a sucrette? You all right? He's not a little hoarse. Hey, hurry up. Get him some water. Hurry up. He's petrified. He's scared.
I know. He's so mild-mannered.
He's getting scared, John. He's scared. Right. You okay,
Tell
Bobby?
Him what I did. Tell him how I organized.
He organized the whole thing. He actually formed a new company called Bodybuilding Paparazzi. And what it is we're going to take pictures and interviews of all the fans in the whole show. So all you fans out there, come up to us. We're going to do interviews, take your pictures and stuff, and get you up on the site, man. It's about you guys, about the fans. You are the ones that make this site. You tell us what you want, and we'll put it up there for you. You know, so my brother got us. We're all in the same, John, we're all in the same hotel together.
Oh, good.
It's kind of scary.
So in other words, we're all going to get thrown out of the same hotel together.
Robbie got us rooms, even though there were no rooms. I think there has been a few cancellations for the Arnold. That's why, you know, people at the last minute, they overbook rooms. Then they cancel the rooms when they get down to the last 2 weeks. So a couple more have been made available, and so Team RX Muscle will be at the Hampton Inn, from what I hear, right?
Yeah, and there's some people out there that, you know, wait to the last, you know, 5 minutes before the plane leaves to decide if they're going or not. Yeah. So thankfully, we don't work there anymore.
That's right. Thank God, yeah. Well, you know, it's that time again, John. So
Wait. Before we do that, we got this. It's important. We got to do a couple of shout-outs because I've been getting emails and private messages and text messages from literally all over the world, and I promised these people that, you know, we would give them a shout out on our first real full 2 hour show. You know, Dave, we have fans in New Zealand, we have fans in Australia, we have fans in Ireland, in England, all over Great Britain, we have fans in India, we have fans in Turkey. All in countries in Africa, it's absolutely amazing that we have been able to span the globe in terms of our appeal and our reach. And I want to give a big shout out to all of them, all of those guys. And I also want to give a shout out to two other guys that have been in this industry for a long time that have been supporters of us, even though we may seem like rivals. And that's Dan and Bob from Pro Bodybuilding Weekly. They've been really, you know, supportive of us in the last couple of weeks here with what's gone on, and they wished us well on their show, and I just want to return the well wish and thank them back and wish them well.
Ron Avidan on Get Big too.
And Ron Avidan on Get Big. Actually, the entire industry. I mean, we've gotten calls and letters and from all over, people supporting us, wanting to advertise with us, all people all over the industry, supplement companies, clothing manufacturers, promoters, people have other websites, other magazines. It's like the most – us getting fired was probably the best thing that has ever happened to us.
That's, as Mr. G would say, you got to look at the brightest side of things, and I agree. I do agree.
We learned a lot. He learned from us, and we learned from them.
We learned who our true friends are.
He learned, John, he gave us an avenue to entertain people and to get our ideas out there, and he learned that part from us, and we learned the business end part from able to launch this website and do this. So we both have things to be thankful from each other. So going forward, competition is great, man. That's what it's all about.
I agree.
Well, you know, I want to mention one more thing. Robbie Smalley just informed me that he's the first official advertiser on the Heavy Muscle Radio Show. His Muscle Fit Apparel is going to be the one of the official, clothing line of the show. And he does all my, does all my Species clothing. And he does a great job. So I just want to say thanks, Robbie. And I guess thanks to Robbie, we will have about maybe 100 to 200 shirts, RX Muscle shirts, to give out at the Arnold Classic. So any of our listeners out there who are listening, If you see Mr. G and his crazy brother running around, if you get to him first, you may get a T-shirt.
It is fantastic, Dave. It's amazing, fabulous, fantastic. I gotta say it again, fantastic.
Thank God, John, we could lower his mic if necessary.
I know.
But let's get to the news. So without further ado here, first story I was going to mention, I decided not to because we decided we're gonna take a more positive angle on this whole thing. We're not going to try to bash MD, and we're done with Blackman. There's no reason to even mention him anymore. I wanted to even bring up the lawyer's letter that Blackman sent us, but I don't even know if I want to talk about that anymore, John.
Yeah, you know, it's sour grapes. I mean, we got so much more going on and so much better stuff. I rather, you know, if he's running around having lawyers sending letters for just, you know, not bullshit nonsense, you know, let him spend his money and do that. We have much better things to do.
All right, well, let's talk about something positive. What do you think about A-Rod admitting steroid use?
A-Rod.
Let's talk about him hanging out with that new girl he's hanging out with.
Whatever happened to Madonna?
Yeah.
I thought what's her name was hanging out with him. Got the tall black chick. What's her name?
Who?
The fitness girl, figure girl.
Oh, Alicia Marie?
Alicia Marie, yeah. Wasn't she seen leaving his hotel room or something at 2 o'clock in the morning with a hooker or something?
I thought she was dating John Rocker.
I don't know. You hear stuff all over the place.
We'll have the Smalley Brothers interview her.
Bodybuilding paparazzi will have to get to her.
But, you know, the thing about A-Rod is I think it's kind of funny, you know, the irony in all of this, you know, baseball covering, I mean, baseball players using steroids. Not to mention our former employer, but you know, there was a time when we had this magazine, was the Muscular Development magazine, was all natural, and I remember us highlighting certain athletes in that magazine. One of them, because in our natural format, one of them being Jose Canseco,
right.
And you know, it turns out that these guys that we put up there as these deities, almost of the, you know, practitioners of the great American pastime, these supposed role models of American youth, all end up being guys that use drugs to be the best players they can be. I talked to Victor Conte, and you know, the idea that A-Rod, you know, failed the drug test in 2003 and then came out, you know, I never used them after that, you know, not really. And according to Victor, it's like, bullshit, you used them your entire career.
Right, well, all these guys did. I mean, I don't think it's, you know, I think the problem was he was right about making the admission, but then he qualified it, which made him less believable. He should have just said, yeah, I've been using them all along, you know, screw you guys, everyone's using them, you know. I think people would respect him more.
Why won't anyone do that, Dave? Why won't anyone do that?
Well, John B. admitted it.
Sort of.
No, he said he used him.
Not really. He apologized, but didn't really apologize for what he was apologizing for. But to me, it's like, you're a professional. And in your bag of tricks to be the best professional you can be, there is an assortment of things that you use, and it's not just steroids. There's steroids are an integral part of the whole thing. There's
5%,
diet, there's what?
5%.
Yep,
these guys
exactly.
Are going to be pros anyway. 5%, if that, because they're going to be a pro anyway.
But
no
my point is, why does the media and the public pigeonhole this minute portion of everything else that they do? I mean, they sleep in hyperbaric chambers. They employ chefs, personal trainers, masseuses. They have sports-specific nutrition programs. They have sports-specific supplementation programs. They do a myriad of things that help them be the best that they can be. And also in that mix, they take some juice. But how come everything else is discarded and the fact that they use juice is the big freaking issue?
Because people, you know, well, you know, Barack Obama was saying before the campaign that he thought it was a big waste of money, all these congressional hearings, and now he's condemning A-Rod. Oh, he ruined the baseball. And so, I think it's just that's like the political dogma that they have to espouse and to make it look like they're protecting the youth of America. When in fact, you know, the bottom line is all the adults, anyone who's at least got half a brain realizes that all these professional athletes are using anything they can get their hands on to enhance their performance.
But it's not limited to them. I mean, you have surgeons and concert, you know, musicians taking beta blockers before they perform or before they do surgery. You have students in college and high school taking, what's that drug they're using? They're all passing.
Adderall.
Adderall. Yeah, to make them think better. There's hundreds of drugs people use to be better at what they do. And so the stigma, the mindset of taking drugs or a drug to be better at what you do is fine in 99% of the population, except when it comes to sports and male hormones.
What about Coors Light? They do a they have the top pro coaches do a Coors Light commercial with a can of beer saying, "Here, look at this, drink this can of beer." Meanwhile, how many people die from alcohol each year? Something like 90,000 a year. Yet they're going to go up and promote alcohol, and here's something that's going to help someone perform better and is healthy for you, and they're going to exit because it's all political votes. It's about getting votes.
I agree.
And one's legal and one's not.
Well, it's exactly, because you know what? These congressmen aren't using steroids. Wait till they want to start using them for longevity purposes.
Yeah, they
won't be banning them so quickly.
There's some that are. They're not saying anything. Believe me.
Yeah, well,
that's the most who's using it anyway. On the pie chart, 1%, 0.5% is the professional athletes. The other 99.9% is all everyday guys like you and me, guys in their 40s and 50s and 60s who just want to, you know, bring their hormone levels back to a normal level.
Mm-hmm. I got another question. There was another story in the news, John. You wrote something up about this. Mike Torscher, who is a former NPC California state champion, is suing WE. Now, I'm going to ask this question to Colette because she's a registered dietitian and she works with a lot of out-of-shape children. He's saying that this WE game that I guess WE Fit it's called, where you can actually exercise. I actually saw a funny spoof on Saturday Night Live last night where they were showing these guys doing the WE and they were like simulating jerking themselves off.
It was the shake game, yeah.
The shake game.
So you figure it out, John.
All these guys shaking the control panel. But he's saying that it fosters poor exercise form, and he says it does more damage than good. And he's suing Nintendo for damages. I mean, what do you think about this, Colette?
Really? Because, I mean, if anything, it's gets these kids out of the chairs and standing up and doing something. I mean, it's better than sitting there playing video games, you know, dead on a couch.
He's saying, though, it's causing overuse injuries in the wrong muscle groups.
Are you serious? It sounds,
he wants them to pull it from the shelves.
But it sounds
about as good as the letter that you received last week from MD, actually.
That's a gray area. We're not talking about that.
Okay, that's right. But, I mean, you know, wow.
Now, what do you think about that, John? Your son plays Wii.
Well, he's a graduated Xbox 360, but no, he played Wii for a long time. Yeah. You know, he played Guitar Hero and the boxing game a lot. And, you know, it's a freaking game,
right?
Okay? It's a game. You want to sue somebody for contributing to the derelict health habits and health conditions of the American youth, sue McDonald's and Burger King and Krispy Kreme. You know, get those things off the map first. How can you want to sue a freaking game for a deleterious effect on a child's ability to play a sport? Where's the proof? Have there any studies been done that prove, you know, that this has come out?
I don't think he's got a leg to stand on, actually.
But this country wants to sue for anything.
He's just, you know, this guy, I knew him in Venice way back in the day. He was a trainer at Gold's Gym. And, you know, it's just, he was one of those guys where, you know, you saw everybody in his, you know, sort of genre there moving up. There were guys that, you know, moved up and went on to other things and you know, did infomercials and got their diet program out and you know, made millions, if not billions of dollars doing what they were doing. I remember Dean Tornabene made $1 billion doing what he was doing. And,
right.
You know, this guy saw these people raising up and doing their thing you know, he wanted to jump on the bandwagon and never quite, you know, he got a few things out there. He did this, he did that, but he never got that windfall that everybody else around him got. And this stunt just seems to me the latest in his effort to try to get him to get his name up in lights, because it's actually probably the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty ridiculous too. Yeah, I actually know him from Westchester. When I first started bodybuilding, he was in the gym. And he was big back then. I mean, he was huge. He used to go back and forth from California to New York. And I think he had like something like five wives too. The guy, you know, he's a character.
Really?
Yeah, he's a good looking guy. You know, he's got a good line of bullshit. You know, I guess like you said, maybe he's getting a little older now, and he's still trying to make a name for himself.
PR man doesn't hurt, right? Publicity.
It's like the Mahalik effect, right?
That's right.
Tony Randall told him that. It's a famous story. Tony, he used to train Tony. Remember Tony Randall from The Odd Couple?
Yeah, The Odd Couple.
Tony Randall, point blank, told him, this is when Steve was training me, and I was over 300 pounds and eating like 20,000 calories a day. He says, Steve, just make anything up. It doesn't matter. The more outrageous, the better it is.
He listened to him, that's for sure.
he'd have me go to high schools, you know, promoting natural bodybuilding at 310 pounds.
But what's wrong with Bobby?
Bobby Smalley?
Quiet.
I know. Well, that's because we don't have a headset.
He's in the back here right now. Here, when we give him the headset, yeah, I'm gonna give him the headset.
He's just so animated normally.
He's gonna get out of. He's getting warmed up. You know, like his friend Ray out back, one eye Ray, one finger Ray was warming up his cycle. No. Me and my brother were laughing hysterical. Now he's making fun of me because I have no back teeth, and every time I talk, you know, when a performer performs, they spit. You
he's
know?
Spitting on my $500 microphone, John.
It makes it sound better. Hey, so, right. Bobby, give a shout. Come on, let's hear some things from Bobby.
Well, before Bobby says anything, John, I got a call from a client of mine. He said my testosterone level is very low, so I said, well, you know, how low is it? You know, I said mine was 200, you know, before I went into jail. And I said, I know a couple other guys that have been as low as 160. This guy had a testosterone level of 7. I didn't even know you could measure it that low. I said, you got to be below.
How did it go that low?
I don't know. That's got to be below, like, Colette's probably.
I remember, I thought mine was 220 when I got my.
Right. That's usually as low as it goes. His was 7.
So what'd you tell him to do, Dave? Just have a nice life?
I told him to get a sex change.
Yeah, there's a nice dress shop down the street.
Right?
No, he needs replacement.
Did he still have a libido? Was he, like, cold all the time? Did he still have facial hair? Was he growing breasts?
What I want to know, John. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty here.
I don't think it was that low that long, but he said he was his sex drive was hurting a little bit, and he was feeling a little depressed. So I told him he definitely could use some replacement therapy. That's for sure.
So they're selling organs now that the economy is so bad.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I mean, this woman, she's 26 years old, and she wants to see what she can get. What does a kidney go for nowadays, John?
That's a good question. And, you know, and not only that, is what does it go good with? Mushrooms, red wine?
No, seriously.
How do you make kidney these days?
If you had to buy a kidney, I mean, what would you spend? I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess it's on Craigslist, so I guess it's kind of like a bidding type of situation.
$200,000.
Really, Robbie?
That depends who the person that needs it, if they're a match and they have money.
Is that morally ethical to sell your kidney?
Well, it's going to get more popular. It's popular over in other countries. Vietnam and stuff.
No, in Vietnam, you wake up in a bathtub full of ice and you're missing a kidney. I don't think that they actually pay you for them.
People use date drugs and cut it out.
Yeah, they take it, they steal it from you in the middle of the night. I know.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Well, so now.
At least bodybuilders are kind of safe because no one wants the kidneys of a bodybuilder. You know what I mean?
No,
we have terrible kidneys. You know?
They barely work.
Yeah.
But I mean, the idea of, okay, now let's just say the end of the, you know, auction is here, and now I know that somebody has purchased my kidney. Now I have to deliver.
Yeah, of course.
What's that process like?
You go to the hospital. I guess they take it out of you. I don't know. I guess
you know. Aren't there other less invasive things that a 26-year-old girl can sell on the open market today than rather to have to
eggs,
open
I guess.
Her up and take a freaking kidney out?
Well, the virginity.
You can sell eggs.
Girls tried to sell her virginity.
Yeah, well, how can you prove that you're a virgin, though?
I mean, oh, no, they can prove on eBay, she was trying.
You know. I heard you could have it repaired again, and you could fake it. You could get it repaired, and then and you could sell your virginity like 10 times nowadays.
Hymenplasty.
That's right.
I wonder if Dr. Blau knows how to do that.
I'm sure he does. We could make a big, maybe. Never mind.
Is he an advertiser on our radio?
It's a gray area. Yeah, Dr. Blau will be on board, sure, with us next month. I don't know. It's an interesting question. I guess if I was a woman, I would probably try to sell my eggs before I would sell my kidney. But, you know, some people are lazy, John. It's like, you know, I always wondered, why wouldn't women be strippers rather than porn stars? But someone told
hookers.
me, well,
What about hookers?
Oh, hookers,
what is
right.
wrong with hooking? It's the oldest freaking profession. You got to start opening your body up and sell kidneys now?
No, but I'm just thinking, you know, women would rather be hookers than strippers. Now, strippers probably make maybe more money than hookers, but that's a lot more work. So, you know, rather than sell your eggs, I guess that's a lot of work. You got to go through all the hormone treatments.
But look at the where's the morality here? Are you really trying to tell me that that society is more accepting of opening your body up and yanking out an organ and getting money for that versus the oldest profession in the world?
Yeah, I know, you're right. It sounds almost ridiculous.
I'm telling you, the world is getting way too messed up.
John, I just got offered blowjobs for sessions by a client.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
No.
A new client walked in the door, right?
What was his name?
No, her.
Derek Anthony.
That's what we talked.
John.
She walked in, and the next thing you know, she's talking to me in my office. The next thing she goes, you know, I got those tires over there on my car. I go, no, how'd you get him? She goes, I gave the guy a blowjob.
I guess which meant that George would accept payment as a blowjob as well, but he didn't, right?
No.
You didn't, did you?
No.
Okay.
Hey, there was a point in time where I would have traded a handshake of a woman for a training session.
Can you imagine women paying for, like, services and blowjobs nowadays?
How come guys can't do that?
I'm sure they can.
Not blowjobs. How come guys can't pay women for oral favors, you know?
She actually did ask me that.
She did?
Yeah.
She wanted you to
proposition, yeah.
She wanted you to pleasure her?
Trade sex for training, yeah.
Why would you want to give her oral sex?
That's what she wanted.
Right, but what was she going to give you?
Oral sex.
Oh, you were going to swap then.
Yeah, I was going to give her training. I was going to train her. She wanted to come in and train. And training, that's what the whole purpose of telling me that whole story. I knew that.
No, John wanted to know why can't women pay us for giving them oral sex?
It can if you want. There's lots of women out there. You want to give them oral sex? Look what they look like.
I'm a Dalai Lama.
Who's that Dalai Lama? Who's the Dalai Lama?
The Dalai Lama did it for you, Mr. G, didn't she?
Isn't that a gray area?
First of all, there's nothing. My studio, nothing happens there. Everything is clean, you know, and generic. You know, I run a professional operation.
Aren't you known for double dipping, Mr. G?
What is double dipping?
Robbie, that's a gray area.
That's a gray area.
Bob, what does double dipping mean?
Hold on. It's double dipping. Aren't you opening a shake bar where you double dip?
Yeah.
You had sex with one girl.
Mr. G's opening his own shake bar, John. He's going to have the John Romano shake, he told me. The John Romano keto shake, he's going to call it.
Yeah, we're actually going to carry all the species supplements and stuff in our store and make shakes with them and stuff.
What's the name of the place going to be called?
I really don't know yet. I mean, the name of my place now is Bodies by Mr. G.
No, double dip.
Maybe.
No, call it gray area.
Like that gray area. The double deuce.
Like
remember?
Area 51. Call it the gray area.
It's like the double deuce. You remember from that Roadhouse movie?
The Hulk shake, you know, the Triple H shake. We'll have the Arnold Schwarzenegger shake, the Palumbo Jumbo shake.
Well, it sounds like a good. I'm going to go in there every day to get my shake of the day. So,
I want you to send them to Florida.
Now, you know, remember that story I told you a few weeks ago about the spider bite and the spiders living under the toilet bowl?
Yeah.
That if you got bit by these things, they killed you.
The one I didn't believe.
Yeah, right. The one that came from India.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out it was a hoax, I found out. So everyone out there who's listening, you don't have to worry about checking the toilet seats anymore.
Dave, can I say one thing about spiders?
Sure.
This is Rob Smalley here. In your whole lifetime, this is a definite true statement, you're never 3 feet from a spider, no matter where you are in your life, whether it's your bathroom, taking a shower, whether you're in a car, there's spiders all over the world. They're in your bed. They're called microscopic spiders. What are they called, Dave?
Mites? I don't know.
Mites. You're never 3 feet from a spider your whole life.
Wow. Well, so you learn something new every day.
I haven't heard that spiders crawl in and out of your mouth while you're sleeping.
That's true. That's 100%
really?
True.
Wow.
They're so microscopic, you barely feel them.
Well, what about that lawsuit on Long Island? You were talking about the kidney before, where a guy gave his wife a kidney, and now they're getting divorced, and he's suing her.
We talked about that old
news.
Yeah,
he wants the kidney back.
Old news, Mr. G.
Mr. G, you're not listening to your episodes.
Dave, am I allowed to ask John Romano one question?
I didn't take my medication.
You're allowed to ask John Romano.
Hey, John.
Yes.
All this had happened, man. All this, the firing and everything, it was such an abrupt thing. It was like a nuclear meltdown. Now that you're going to go to the Arnold, and you're going to be face-to-face with the devil, once again, how are you going to react to this? I mean, there's going to be a lot of star power here. You,
Are you going to grow from this? I mean, what's going to happen? I'm almost frightened to see what's going to happen at the Arnold with all the following that you guys have. You're actually going to stare the devil in the face at once.
And bots. What are you going to say when you see bots?
Forget that. He doesn't know.
I'm not going to occupy my life with negative energy anymore over this. You know, I was very, very, very unhappy leading up to the events that happened, and I really didn't realize how unhappy I was until I was gone. So, you know, looking at the situation right now from where I am today, you know, I have a fantastic business partner, a great friend. We've created an amazing place where tons of people have given their support, you know, undyingly. It's just all turned out. If I was going to take an inventory of what I have in my life today, it's far greater and more positive than it was 2 weeks ago.
John, so, can I say something?
What?
And don't take this personal. You sound like Flim Flam Florio, the ex-governor from New Jersey. I mean, you're gonna be actually face to face with you. I know all that is true and how you feel. It's definitely better for you. So, but you're gonna be facing the guy for the first time at the Arnold 09. He's gonna look at you, and you're gonna look at him, and it's gonna be that 1 second of famous talk.
And he's gonna say, "What do you think of Victor's glutes?"
Yeah, what are you gonna say? That's what I'll say to him. I'll say, "Hey, did you see Victor's glutes? They look." Kai's glutes look better than Victor's glutes. I'm not going to say anything. Okay. You know what? I don't know what I'm going to do until the moment comes. But I'm not being flim-flam the guy from New Jersey with having sex in the restrooms.
Flim-flam Florio.
Florio.
Remember the limelight.
The limelight. But, you know, I have images, you know. I have images of
18 years.
But the images I have are not of... You know, this great camaraderie that, you know, we built something together. My images are of me being taken advantage of and, you know, Victor's glutes having the most importance of anything ever that we've ever talked about. You know, if I brought up something, you know, the conversation segue was usually Victor's glutes. So, I mean, I know that's happened to Dave. I know that's happened to me. I know that's happened to other people that have, you know, asked, you know, prying questions or requests, the things that we needed. There was the Victor's glutes is a euphemism for changing the subject away from what's relevant to us to what's relevant to him.
That's a good point.
And you know, I don't. It's not literally Victor's glutes, although sometimes it was.
I got one more question, John. So it's not. So actually,
who are you, Larry King? Now all of a sudden with the questions?
Is this a radio show?
So last I checked,
it's actually not saying goodbye. It's saying hello to a new beginning for you and Dave, and that's the best thing about it. So, thank you for letting me speak, John.
But now you're flim flam Florio.
You know, this is never going to happen again. The Smalley brothers in my house at the same time on a microphone, nonetheless, John.
I hope you're filming this.
I should be. I should have had a webcam in here. We could have charged.
Good man, though.
We need to put up new video on the front of our site. I can't believe you're not filming this.
I'll film the Smalley brothers before we leave. They'll give a. You guys have a good message to the MD community, Mr.
Hey,
G.
John,
Mr. G just put his Arnold mask on.
Hey, John Romano.
Fantastic! It is amazing. The Arnold Classic is coming up, and the new people are coming there. RxMuscle.com. I look forward to them coming there. I heard so much about them. It's unbelievable that they're going to come and start this new radio show. In fact, I'm a little disappointed.
Cut them off. But anyway, loyalty.
which is a great segue, John, into our next segment.
Heavy Muscle Radio brings you one of bodybuilding's living legends.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
The Incredible.
Lou Ferrigno.
Our next guest is two-time Mr. America and two-time Mr. Universe. He's the man who will always be known as the Incredible Hulk. He's a bodybuilding Hall of Famer and one of the biggest bodybuilders ever to grace the stage. The man I'm talking about is none other than Big Lou Ferrigno. Louie, welcome to Heavy Muscle Radio.
Thank you. How you guys doing? Good afternoon.
Hey, Louie.
Louie, you know, you're the first official guest of Heavy Muscle Radio. And in light of all of your other many and varied theatrical performances, tell us, how honored are you to be the first guest on our show?
Well, I'm very honored to be on your show because I've always liked the work you've guys done, how much you put into the sport, and the excitement you created in the magazines. And hopefully it'll be a good domino effect to have a lot of great people on your show.
Well, you're a good person to start off with, you know. I'm sure you heard that John and I were fired, Louie, for muscular development. And as an avid listener of the old Noel Bull radio show, do you think this was a smart decision by the boss, Steve?
Yeah, I know the whole story, but I think it's a misjudgment on Steve's part because I think it's wrong, especially, you know, you've been in the business for 18 years and much you've done for the magazines. I don't think it'll be the same again without you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, it's hard to believe, Louie, that some people out there are actually too young to remember the Incredible Hulk TV series you did back in the 70s with Bill Bixby. Now, originally, Arnold was up for that role, but you ended up with it. How did that happen?
Well, they approached Arnold, but Arnold recommended for me to do it because he knew that I was bigger and more fitted for the part, and so he told the executives he'd rather have me do it, and which was nice.
Now, was Arnold doing any acting at this time, or was this like the first big role either one of you got?
Well, right after Pumping Iron, I was the first one because I think after that he did that cowboy movie with Kurt Douglas and Ann Margaret. I forgot the name of it.
Yeah, that wasn't too memorable.
Yeah. Funny.
How long did you work on the Hulk series?
I was on the Hulk series for about almost 5 years. I've done 86 episodes.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, I was like, when I was growing up, I mean, you were my idol. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be the Incredible Hulk. I think probably a lot of guys out there probably wanted to be the Incredible Hulk, too. You actually became good friends with Bill Bixby, didn't you, Louie?
Yeah, we were close. He was like my mentor. He was like a good friend. I learned a lot from him. You know, it's funny, when the Hulk series first aired on TV, a lot of people thought it was some guy in a jumpsuit because they did not believe the muscles were real. It was the first time on national television you see me doing the most muscular poses, you see the striations. So it was the first time in the mainstream you got to see the freaky side of a bodybuilder.
I couldn't believe it was real when I was a kid. I was asking my parents. I said, you know, who's playing who's in the costume? And they said, no, that's a real guy. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That had to make you feel good to be the first bodybuilder to really make it mainstream.
Yeah, because I was in Wide World of Sports. Then I made the transition from that right into the Hulk series. That's before Pumping Iron came out.
Now, Louie,
I think Pumping Iron came out just about the same, just before, yes.
Right, right. How did you did well in those Wide World of Sports strongman things. Did you like those?
Which one, the strongman competition?
Yeah, well, you were in the Wide World of Sports where you were lifting up the cars and stuff like that?
Yeah, that was the first World's Strongest Man. I was filming the second pilot of the Hulk, so I got the invitation to compete. So actually, it was on the weekend at Universal Studios, so I just jumped into the competition because even though I didn't train for it, but I was excited to be part of the competition because I wanted to show how bodybuilders are strong and they look, not just being a weightlifter or a powerlifter.
So, well, Louie, you remember the show Bill Bixby did before the Hulk series called The Courtship of Eddie's Father?
Yeah, then he did The Magician.
Then The Magician. So I can't believe so many people don't remember those shows.
Well, the Hulk was Bill's fifth series because the first one was me and Eddie, My Favorite Martian, The Courtship of Eddie's Father, The Magician, and The Hulk was number five.
That's right.
Right.
What came after the Incredible Hulk TV series for you, Louie? What did you do after that was canceled?
I did, immediately after that, I did another TV series. As a matter of fact, I did Hercules. Three gladiator movies in Europe, and then I did another TV series called Trauma Center for one season.
That's right. That's right. I remember that.
Trauma Center. Remember that?
Yeah, it was a great show. It was almost like St. Elsewhere.
Yeah, why did they cancel that?
Well, we had tremendous competition. We were against Simon and Simon and Magnum PI, so the network move the time slot. They decided to cancel the show because of the ratings. But if it was around today, I think it would have been very successful.
I really don't think people really understand the breadth of all of the TV that you've done. You had a long running part in King of Queens.
Yes, 7 years.
Was that your favorite role?
Yes, because I did a movie called The Godsend with Dom DeLuise, and I was invited to be on The King of Queens, and then they liked my work, and then I had a recurring role for 7 years. And now I enjoy doing comedy, so it gave me a chance to show other than doing drama.
Well, you were a staple in that show. I mean, it was on, yeah, what, every week. You could see Lou Ferrigno.
It was great.
And you played yourself, right?
Yes, the neighbor next door.
Put some oil on me, please.
I go through the same thing every day.
Imagine Louis come over to your house to ask for some eggs or something.
Please, you gotta give him a dozen.
I ran out of eggs. I need some protein.
Louis, over the last 10 years, I've actually played the Incredible Hulk on the Conan O'Brien show, believe it or not. It's more in a comedy skit type of thing. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but... I had to sit in makeup for over 2 hours to get painted green. How long did you have to sit in makeup to do the TV show?
I say it was about 3 hours or more. Many times I had to get made up like 4 a.m. before the sun came out because of the fact that I had to be ready to shoot by 7 a.m.
Wow. Now,
the hardest part for me was not the filming. It was being in the makeup and doing the makeup and not able to train because I'm only going to work out before or after I finish shooting. So that was tough.
Yeah, is it true that you used to drive home with the green makeup on?
I did it once, and there was a head-on collision because some guy saw me on the freeway. I'll never do it again.
I heard that story. I think the Barbarian Brothers told me that story.
Yeah.
What did the people say when you got out of the car?
I'm sorry?
What did the people say when you got out of the car all green?
I kept driving.
Oh, you kept driving.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I wanted to go home.
You would be on the set that late?
I'm sorry, your voice is echoing.
Oh. You would be on the set that late, Louis, till 1 in the morning?
Sometimes I finish 4 or 5 in the morning.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, I was filming like 80 hours a week.
Jeez. Louis, let's talk about your relationship with Joe Weider. You were with him for almost 30 years, weren't you?
Yeah.
You must have a good Joe Weider story.
A Joe Weider story? Yeah, well, we had a lot of fun together. I've been, traveled a lot of places with Joe, but I think I have a better Arnold story than Joe Weider's story.
Tell us the Arnold story.
All right, let's tell you. Tell us the Arnold story.
Well, when I was competing at Pumping Iron, and it was the evening of the competition, and we were backstage, and the former English bodybuilder, Paul Grant, was walking around looking for some baby oil to put on his body. And Arnold said, "I have a tube here." It was like a silver tube. And he looked at me, he winked his eye at me, and he gave Paul Grant the tube. And he said, "Listen, this stuff of being at the definition is fantastic." So Paul Graham rubbed the whole tube, the cream on his body, and I find out later on it was Ben Gay.
Oh.
he came over, Paul. He said, he goes, "Lou Arnold," he goes, "my skin keeps turning red. What's wrong? I thought I was going to have a shine." That was embarrassing. I mean, I felt bad for the guy.
Wow. Was that typical for Arnold?
That's typical.
A lot of people think there was, because of the Pump and Iron, because of the imagery, that there was a rivalry between you and Arnold that was sort of unfriendly. But the reality is that Arnold and you were pretty good friends.
Yeah, we had fun and everything. Because the problem is that I was not in my best shape when I went to South Africa. So I was under a lot of pressure, and I just knew that I needed another month or two of training because I was training for the ABC Superstar competition at the same time. But Arnold treated me fairly well, and I didn't have a problem.
Louis, when the new modern-day Hulk movies came out, you were offered roles in them. You actually had some small parts in them. But few people knew that you were actually the voice of the Hulk.
Yes, I did the voice of the Hulk for the new movie. I also did the voice for the animated UPN cartoon. But back when I did the TV series, it was done by Ted Cassidy, who played Lurch on the Addams Family.
Oh, really? You didn't do the original voice, huh?
No, not in the series.
Wow. How is that? I mean, I know they have another movie coming out. I think they have a Marvel Comics book movie coming out. Are you going to be the voice of the Hulk in that, too?
No, I did the voice of the Hulk on the last movie.
What about on the new one they're going to come out with?
Probably because of the fact I already established the voice. So I think the next one they're doing called The Avengers.
Right, right. They're going to have all the superheroes together.
Yes, which is a great idea.
I think so.
What about your new movie, Louie? The new movie is called I Love You, Man, and it's due out pretty soon, any minute now, in another
March
month or so.
20th. It's a very funny movie, and it was directed by John Hamburg. He did Meet the Fockers, Meet the Parents. In the movie with me is Jason Segel and Paul Rudd, and this is my best work I've done, and it's hilarious, and the reviews have been very, very positive, and people who've been to the private screenings just love the film.
What's it about, Louie?
I think it begins when you see my mansion. I'm trying to sell my mansion in Beverly Hills, and then apparently I hired Paul Rudd, and apparently he had bad luck selling the house because of the fact that he's trying to get involved in different relationships, you know, because he's getting married soon. And there's a big confrontation with Jason Segel, and I would get to a fight at the Venice Beach. So it's a build-up. It has a lot of sexuality. It's very, very funny.
Wow, I'm looking forward to it, man.
You're
looking forward to it. It's funny, but you're in almost a romantic comedy. How does a big green monster end up in a romantic comedy role?
Well, I just enjoy comedy because of King of Queens. The fact that director John Hamburg, you know, approached me and asked me if I would be interested in being in the film, and I read the script and I loved it because he's liked what I've done as an actor doing comedy and the King of Queens.
Interesting. Now, I have a couple people in the studio here with me who are dying for me to ask you to do the voice of the Hulk. They want to hear you say Hulk smash.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Hulk smash, Hulk crash.
That's great, Louie.
Louie, you're awesome, baby. That is fantastic.
Oh, my God. Louie, you got to tell us one more Arnold story. Do you have one?
I'm trying to think of one now. I'll tell you another
didn't,
one.
Didn't
now.
He call you up after he bought his house in Santa Monica?
Say it again.
Didn't he call you up after he bought his house in Santa Monica to see if where your house was in relation to his, and he asked you how much it cost and all of that?
Yeah, when I remember I bought my house, and then he bought his house, and then we were comparing prices, and it was in the same neighborhood, and but that's a funny story. This was back in 1980.
Yeah, Louie, go ahead.
1980, yeah.
Oh, I thought you had another story you were going to tell us.
I'm trying to think of it.
Oh.
That's all right. I don't want to put you on the spot.
All right. Now, you currently live in Santa Monica, right, Louie?
Yeah.
Now, that makes you technically one of Governor Schwarzenegger's constituents. How would you rate his job performance running the state of California?
I say it again. Your voice is breaking up.
Oh, sorry about that. How would you rate Arnold's job performance as the governor of California, seeing that you're one of his constituents? You know,
I think he's doing the best he can, but he's under a microscope. And I think at this time now with the economy, I think it's tough. And I really... I think he's doing the best he can because it's a lot of pressure and we're in a tough time. And I think if I were him, I would just enjoy my having his money and everything. Why kill himself? Because you know when you're in politics, it's a dirty sport.
What about the Arnold Classic? Are you going to be there this year, Louie?
Yeah, I'll be in the Europa booth.
Oh, in the Europa booth.
Yeah, because Weider's not having a booth there, so I enjoy every year going to the Arnold Classic.
Weider's not having a booth?
No.
Wow.
Wow.
A lot of people are dropping out.
No, I think they're going to give out magazines in the Europa booth, but as far as the booth, as far as I know, they're not having a booth.
Now, Louis, you're one of the most popular people I hear at these comic book conventions they hold, because I have a couple of friends who like to go to these conventions.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those appearances do you do a year?
It could vary. It could be about 10 or 10, 15 a year. I enjoy doing the big show, because what's great about the conventions, I have my memorabilia and then my pictures. Those fans come up and then, you know, they talk about the series, and plus they bring a lot of their own collectible item.
It's amazing what these guys collect, right?
Well, it's good, because it's very exhilarating, because, you know, kids go to convention. It's a positive thing, because when I was a kid, I would give anything to go to a convention and be my favorite superhero. So it's a nice trade-off.
Isn't that ironic that you started out as a child reading comic books and loving that, and now you're actually the guy that the people are reading about?
Yeah, because especially Superman, Spider-Man, the Hulk, because I was always fascinated with power and how strength, and that led me to bodybuilding, because I was skinny, I was introverted as a child, so I wanted to build admiration and respect for myself. So that's why I was very fascinated with the comic book. I was like a real-life Walter Mitty.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Louis, you still run your personal training business at the gym in your house. Now, a lot of people don't know, but the people that come to you for training actually get you as their trainer, not somebody who works for you.
Right. Yeah. They come from all over the world. And, you know, my son now is a personal trainer. He works with me. So people come from all over, because I'd rather give my time, my expertise, and than some stranger other person, because they want to share it with me. They come from all over. So I've been doing it for 30 years, and it's something I really enjoy doing.
Now, how can people get in touch with you to sign up to have Lou Ferrigno as their personal trainer?
Go on louferrigno.com.
That's easy enough, John.
Yep, yeah, louferrigno.com, and all the info will be there.
Ferrigno Fitness to have new power blocks. So Ferrigno Fitness now, I'm looking in the future to expand my fitness line.
Oh, so you're still selling exercise equipment?
Yeah, it's on the website now, but I want to get more involved with exercise equipment, and then eventually get involved with supplements. So,
wow, why don't you design your own line of equipment? Like, you know, unique stuff that you've learned over the years that works for you.
Well, if you look at my website, there's a new Power Block home gym station. It's very affordable, and it's very good for the home, and it's very space. Because you could save a lot of space, and a great price, and you get an entire gym, a bench, everything with a pull down, a leg extension, and a rowing machine, everything.
You designed that, Louis?
No, I helped to promote the product and everything, and then I have the exclusive to the home gym model.
Cool.
Now, Louis, you made a comeback in the 1990s, placing as high as 10th at the Olympia, which was unheard of, you know, for being, out of the sport for so long. And you did it against guys like Dorian Yates, Flex Wheeler, Kevin Lavrone, Sean Ray. However, in 1994, you entered the newly formed Masters Olympia, hoping to win your first title.
Right.
I think you were like 335 pounds on stage, right?
About 300.
Yeah, 300. Now, you wound up taking second to Robbie Robinson that year in what many people thought was a disastrous decision. Tell us a little bit about that show.
Well, apparently in the pre-judging, I had a problem with the tanning, because the tanning started to look very blotchy, and I lost points in the pre-judging. But in my opinion, I thought I should have won. But, you know, when you're in front of judges, it's a subjective sport. And sometimes it could be a little animosity because of the fact that, you know, come back to bodybuilding, being a big star. So I just knew that wherever I placed, that I was going to be in the best shape of my life. So I was very happy how it turned out, even though that I was disappointed to come in second. But that's something you can't control.
I know a lot about that, Louis, myself, so I can sympathize with you. But yeah, I mean, you have to be. I mean, the pictures that I saw after that you took after that that second place of victory were unbelievable. I mean, the pictures in Flex magazine made you look like the biggest bodybuilder of all time.
Yeah, I was, and most people don't realize it's very hard to come back after 17 years. I trained, but I never trained like I trained for competition. But after 17 years, you have to actually, strengthen and the ligament and tendon to get used to the heavy training. So it's been tough.
Plus, you know, you needed to dispel the stigma of the 70s bodybuilder and come back as a 90s bodybuilder.
That was my goal in which I pulled it off. I was able to be in the class for the 90s bodybuilder, because if I came back looking like the 70s, I would embarrass myself.
Well, but I haven't Louis, out of the current crop of bodybuilders today, who out there, whose physique out there do you admire the most, or are you the most impressed with today?
As of today?
Yes.
I like Ronnie Coleman.
He's a freak, that's for sure.
Yeah, but if you look at the other guys, I mean, don't get me wrong, they're all phenomenal, but then if you take a guy like Dexter Jackson, who's got beautiful symmetry, I think they should go back, they should have two different weight classes, because when you put them all together, it's unfair. You don't know who deserves fourth, who deserves third. But Ronnie, I think, at his all-time best, I think he's unbeatable.
Do you think he was the best bodybuilder of all time?
Yes.
Wow.
He proved it, because that man, every angle, I mean, who could do a full leg split and have striation of that as it was going down?
We know one guy who would like to see
angle,
that.
I mean, the thickness of his arms, back, and chest. I mean, I can't think of a human being that could put on any more muscle than he could.
He's a freak of freaks.
And he trains hard.
Yeah, he does. Heavy and hard.
Yeah, 4 years ago, he came to the gym, and he asked me to spot him. He has 615 on his back. He did 15 perfect squats. He put the bar back in the rack. He looked at me. He said, "It feels a little heavy." I said, "Ronnie, that's 600 pounds. Anybody would say that."
You know, Louis, I don't know if you're going to remember this, but there's a video on YouTube that shows you spotting Jimmy the Iron Bull Pelletier at Gold's Gym in Venice, doing some incredible, insane amounts of bench pressing lifts. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I was nervous because, you know, the guy's so strong, I didn't want to get a hernia because if he got stuck to 600 pounds. He's one hell of an animal, boy.
Yeah, he's strong, right?
Whew, oh, my God. And he's a real diehard. There's no fancy shirt strapped. I mean, we're talking about you taking right off the bench.
Yeah, he had nothing. He was in a tank top, right?
Yeah.
Not even a singlet.
Brutal strength.
Now, Louie, how do you train today? What's your training like today?
I train the same like I trained the last 30 years. I like doing 12 sets of body parts. I pyramid up. I do 3 exercises, 8 to 10 reps. And I have good form. And I still train moderate heavy. And I change my exercises. And I train body parts twice a week.
Louie, how old are you now?
57.
57 years old, and you still have over 20-inch arms. Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
Wow.
That's incredible.
What about your son, Louis? A lot of people ask me about Louis' son. Does your son bodybuild?
Yeah, they both do, and they're both strong. My youngest one is 19, and he could do dumbbell pressure with 90-pound dumbbells, and he built more like his Viator.
Wow.
Yeah, they have good bone structure. They train very hard.
What about their arms? Do they have big arms like the father?
Yeah, they got good arms, yeah.
Wow. Are they going to compete, you think?
I don't know. You never know, you know.
Second generation Frignos.
Wow.
Louis, any final words you want to say out there to your fans?
I'm sorry, say it again?
I said any final words to all your fans out there who are listening and who love you. Do you want to give a message out to them?
Yes, I want to say it to the fans. Be good to yourself. Be good to others. And be good to your brothers in the sport. And we're here for a short time, and health is your greatest wealth, and it's your greatest investment. Appreciate what you have.
Wow.
Great words from a great man. Louis, thank you for stopping by and talking to us.
You're welcome, and good luck, and I'll see you at the Arnold.
We'll see you at the Arnold.
Thank you, Louis.
Okay.
All right, you know, John, Jimmy Pelletier was supposed to call. He was supposed to stop by my house and come in the studio with the Smalley brothers, and he never showed up, and I don't know where the hell he is, but according to Jeff, I hear he's on the phone line. So let's find out why he forgot to come to my house. Hey, Jimmy.
Yo.
Where are you? You're supposed to be in my house at 2:00.
Yo, bro, I'm sorry, man. I got a little wrapped up. I ended up out on the bikes, man, drinking beers out at Fort Jeff, man. You know how I get when I start drinking.
We thought Bleckman was throwing money at you to not be on our show.
Yeah, Yeah, you're right. I actually just passed his house. He wrote me a check. I'm standing there looking at it right now, actually. So I'm contemplating over it over a beer.
Now, Jimmy.
I'm adding a couple more zeros, though. You know what I'm saying? This is a little low here for me, but what's happening, man?
All right, let me ask you right off the bat. You obviously heard that John and I were fired from MD and Noble Radio.
I know. I got some emails in my house. I was very taken back by that. There.
Now, are you pissed off that Noble Radio was canceled too? I mean, you are the star of that show.
I mean, I thought it was a really good thing. I mean, I'm not going to say anything negative, but I thought the show was very positive, and I was very shocked that it was actually. I was in shock. You know, I actually had a couple of people email me, some fans. And they said, "Yo, Bull, what's up? Where are you going now?" I said, "Where am I going? Where am I going?" And they said that the show got canceled. I said, "You got to be kidding me!" I said, "This is the first I heard of this." So that's when I started making calls. You know, I mean, people knew before me.
Yeah, but Jimmy, there were rumors that you would be leaving the Whack Pack and staying with MD. Did you ever indicate that, or were words put in your mouth?
I would have to say words would definitely put in my mouth because I also had a couple of the emails were that some people emailed me said that I was going to – it said that Lee Priest, Greg Valentino, and Jimmy the Bull were going to have a new radio show on MD. So when I got that email, I knew nothing about that, you know, that whole situation there. So I actually called Greg Valentino to find out what was going on. I thought maybe he was doing something, and you know, they wouldn't let me in on it. And because I didn't see a check in my mailbox, I mean that's, you know, that's the first thing I look for. So what happened was I called Greg, and Greg knew nothing about it either. So it was just very weird. It was very weird.
Just to be clear, you never intended on doing a radio show with MD without us.
No, absolutely not. No.
All right.
No. And when I got the information that it was posted, I knew nothing about it. And I was actually a little shocked that that was even posted because nobody even consulted me or wrote me a check, you know?
beyond that, overall, what do you think of Dave and me being fired?
I'm all about the money, you know what I'm saying, brother?
Jimmy, what do you think about...
I do it because I love doing this shit. That's why I do it, you know? But I have to say, you know, I really didn't, you know, I was very surprised that that was posted because, I mean, I thought somebody would have at least contacted me and said, Jim, you know, we'd like to offer you this, you know, what do you say, what do you think? So I didn't have a chance to even, you know, answer what was posted, you know, because I knew nothing about it.
All of this is admissible in a court of law, Jimmy, so I'm just letting you know that.
No, I'm not worried. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, you know, I'm not. I don't know how it got posted. I'm shocked, you know.
I think it was a backlash of Blechman getting pissed off that you know, that he, after he got rid of us, that he'd be losing all the talent that we were friends with as well.
Yeah, but you know, this is another thing. Like, I know Steve for many, many years, and I consider myself a friend of Steve's. And I was just shocked that nobody got in touch with me. And then when I called Greg, he knew nothing about it either. So it was kind of, you know, it was kind of weird.
John's his brother, and he didn't even call John, so why should he call you?
What was that?
Jimmy, what do you think?
I said John's was supposedly Steve's brother, and he didn't even call John. So,
well, John, you've been with Steve for like 18 years or something, right?
Yeah. What do you think about us being fired like that, Jimmy?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know the reasons behind what Steve's actions. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I'm sure in his mind there were good reasons, but I mean, just, you know, from my view, you know, viewing at the whole thing was kind of abrupt. And it was kind of just like cold turkey, man. Like, you know, that was it. Like, you know, door closed, slam, shut, goodbye, take it easy. I don't know the details of it, but it seemed pretty abrupt, man. The whole
let me ask you the question.
I thought
this
it was a pretty successful radio show. I mean, I thought you guys, I mean, I know I come on and, you know, once in a while we kick up some laughs and some kick up a little dust, but you guys had a pretty good thing going there. I mean, you know, it was very well listened to this radio show. Yeah, a lot of people liked it. I'm surprised you closed the door on it like that, you know?
Frigno was just on, Jimmy.
What was that?
Louis Frigno was just, Mr. G, Louis Frigno was just on, he listens to the show all the time. He was just on the show, Louis Frigno.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I'm friends with Louis, too. You know that. What did he say?
Yeah, Louis, he was actually talking about the time with you. He goes, I know I'm the Hulk, and I thought I was the strongest man in the world, but when I got that man, Jimmy the Bull, and he was benching at Ben's Beach 1,000 pounds, he asked me to spot him. He goes, I'm going to get a hernia doing this, man. Jimmy, I don't know about this. Remember that?
Yeah, me and Louie go back a long way, man. You know, we're very good friends, you know?
Yeah, now he spoke very highly of you.
What did he think about how the radio show shut down? Did he feel he was surprised also, or what?
Yeah, he was. He thought it was a bad move. Did you have to finish something? I know you were making a statement, John, before.
No, I just wanted to ask Jimmy his opinion. If he was had somebody who worked for him for 18 years, how would you have fired him?
Well, I think I would have had, you know, at least some talks with the person first, you know, and then if we couldn't come to an agreement, I would have let him down, you know, like a corporation would have, you know, with some kind of a package, severance pay, you know, maybe a little kick in the fucking ass, you know, something like, you know, something, you know, not just, you know, hang the phone up and that's the end of the story, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it sounded like you got, like, you know, they found out you got AIDS and they just hung up the phone on you. That was the end of you.
Pretty much.
I mean, no, I, you know, all jokes aside, I have guys that work for me, and I, every once in a while, if I feel I'm getting to the point where I'm going to get rid of them, I'll talk to them. I, you know, I say, look, this is what I don't like. You know, straighten it out, or we can't deal with each other anymore, you know? And they usually straighten out because they know the next step is the foot in the ass. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
That's normal. I mean,
right. Well, Jimmy, on a
that's
more...
That's not the way it went down with you, right, John? I mean, what happened? They just shut you down. That was it, right?
That's it.
After all those years...
Probably a 12-second phone call.
What was said in the phone call?
He said, I've been reevaluating some things, and we decided to terminate the relationship. I got to jump into a meeting. We'll talk more later. Click.
Wow.
Yeah. I got pretty much the same phone call, but...
You were reevaluated.
Yeah.
So we don't know what that means, though, exactly, yeah. Right?
Well, apparently the statement that it released later was that Dave and I weren't doing enough work.
You're doing more work than you ever did the last 2 years. You did the last past 6 years.
Oh, yeah, you're kidding with that statement, right?
No. Dead serious. We were slacking. We weren't giving 100%.
Well, that's an understatement because I thought you guys, you know, put a lot into it. I mean, you guys are living and breathing that show. I mean, you know, how about all the work, you know, prior to the show?
Yeah.
I mean, don't you have to...
He didn't like the show. He thought the show wasn't funny. He didn't think it was good, even though it was earning about $8,000 a month for him. He didn't think it was a good show.
It was too long.
Well, so what, was it funny or was it too long? Or what,
I don't think he listened to
everything.
It.
He didn't support it.
He didn't support it?
No.
Nope. We had to, after 2.5 years, we had to start selling our own advertising because his guy wouldn't do it.
Or he couldn't do it, you mean?
Or couldn't do it, wouldn't do it. He wasn't directed to do it. He was giving it away.
Let's take a more positive approach. Jimmy, I got to ask you a question. Does your ex-wife and your ex-mother-in-law now know that you're on a new website, a new radio show?
Hey, I hope not, bro.
Tell our listeners the story you were telling me about your ex-wife, Carrie's new husband. He called you up because he was mad that you were talking shit about her on the radio?
Yeah. I straightened it out with him. I did. But I mean, yeah.
Tell the story, though, Jimmy. It's a good story.
Well, you know, I mean, I got nothing against the guy. I'll be honest with you, he's really a decent guy. You know, I mean, but he's caught up in the middle because he's with my ex-wife. You know, so I guess he got a little upset at one comment I made.
Which comment?
I don't know really what happened. I think what happened was they must have had some kind of a fight or an argument. That's what happened.
He listens to the show, though, right?
He actually loves the show. Because he texted me, he said that he listens to the show. He loves it. He thinks I'm awesome and I'm funny as shit on the show. He loves the show. He loves me on the show. I think what happened was one morning, Carrie got up in a crabby mood and, you know, must have laid into him or they had a brawl. And then when he took the train to work, he started texting me, you know, telling me, you know, that I don't think it's cool what you said. You know, I want you to tell everybody that, you know, you don't pay child support, which, you know, I took care of that anyway. I was in the rear a little bit. I'm not going to be fucking, you know, I shouldn't even talk about that. But you know what? It happened. You know how it is. It's rough out there. The economy sucks. Construction's down. You know, so shit happens. You know, so but I did take care of it. But you know, he got a little sore. I think what happened was when something happened between me and my ex-wife, where I said something to her about a receipt, and she said, "I'll tell my secretary." I thought that was kind of funny. I wasn't bashing her in any way. I thought that was kind of laughing. She hung up on me.
Yeah, mother.
I'm saying, secretary, here I am, I'm on the street shopping for a living, you know, scraping dollars together, okay? And she's going to tell me her secretary's calling her. So I just thought it was kind of funny. I laughed, you know, so she hung up on me. But, that was the next morning. That's when he started texting me saying it wasn't cool, when, you know, what I said. And I really didn't say anything really that bad. I didn't bash her. And so we went back and forth. And, you know, we straightened it out, though. We did. We straightened it out. You know, it took about 6 or 7 texts, but, you know.
So you mean to tell me that your ex's new husband likes the show?
He loves the show. Yeah.
Is this guy alive? Yeah. Does he work out, Jimmy? This guy,
You know, let's put it this way. If he wasn't married to my ex, I'd probably be riding with her today. You know what I mean? But, you know, he's wrapped up with her. You know, that's his choice. I mean, you know, he probably loves her. And, he likes the show. I mean, he texts me. He said he loves the show. He listens to it all the time.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
She's mad.
Does he know that we're going
to... You know, you're probably right, Dave. That is the problem, because he probably likes the show. He listens to it. And then, you know, she might have overheard, you know, because she probably listened to it. When he's listening to it, she probably drops in an ear on it, you know.
Right.
And then she probably heard that part. When I said about the secretary, and then she probably said to him, you know, what kind of fucking man are you? You know, defend me. You know, what, that's bullshit. What he said, you know, probably laid it to him. And then that's why it was fresh. And then he started texting me right away, you know. But we ironed it out. You know, we definitely ironed it out.
Does he know we're going to go to TV in about 6 months?
Nah.
You think he would agree to come on the show?
I don't know, man. You know,
you guys can compare stories.
Jimmy, he's probably got some stories himself, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Jimmy, is this guy a friend of yours?
How do people know to go on this site now? That's what I want to know. How do, like, the people who are listening to MD, right? How do they know to get to your site now? Is it posted on MD, or how do they know?
John? Did we lose John?
Where'd he go, to the bathroom?
He went to the bathroom. Yeah, all right. I'll take this question then. I think a lot of people, probably I'd say 80% of MD's forum has followed us over to the new RX Muscle website. So they all know. Believe me, Jimmy, they'll find you. It's all over Facebook. It's all over everything. I think everyone knows that Heavy Muscle Radio Monday nights will be where you can find the home of the bull and the home of the old muscle mob, that's for sure, and the whack pack. Now,
we're going to have 2 shows. We're going to have the Heavy Muscle and Whack Pack.
We're going to have Heavy Muscle Radio, and then we're going to have a new show, which I haven't really announced. I guess I might as well announce it here. It's going to be called After Hours with the Whack Pack, yes, which you will be a regular on, obviously. And that's the show we'd like to turn into a TV show at some point. So hopefully everything works out right. We will.
Oh, so then eventually people will be able to see us doing our thing, you know.
That's right, in the studio. You see where you were supposed to be today, but you didn't make it here, you remember?
Actually, Jimmy, you're a big star. I actually went to go get Jimmy the Bull wigs today, and they're all sold out. they told, I kid you not. I mean, I go there every year before this, I go there, you know, there's thousands of those bull-headed wigs, right? I go in there today to Party City, I go in to get the wigs. We're all sold out. Apparently, everybody's been listening to you and watching on the other show, and they become such fans that they have no more of those wigs left.
What's he talking about, Dave?
I don't know. I'm friends with him for 10 years. I don't know what he's talking about. He's spitting into my $500 microphone, though.
Could you,
George? That's George. They're both here, Jimmy, believe me.
He's not like fucking 900 milligrams of caffeine, that guy.
Can I ask you? Yeah, Robbie.
I love him, though. But could you interpret what he just said to me?
No, I can't. Maybe his brother Robbie can.
I'll tell him. No, Jimmy.
Robbie, good.
No, Jimmy, how are you? It's Bobby Stone.
Oh, there you are, Bobby. What's happening, brother?
That was George. I just want to let you know one thing for the 09 Arnold that's coming up.
Right.
I was able to get a king-size room. If you need a place to stay.
What is this? This is a radio show. What are you doing?
I got a place room with the Arnold.
Call him later.
All right. Anyway, call me later if you need a place to stay, the Arnold.
We got to have the whack pack there. All
right, the whole whack pack will be. We got to get Pletchy there, too. I know.
I'm going to get him there. I got a place for him to stay for nothing.
Oh, you're going to put him for nothing?
Yeah. All you geeks, you got nothing.
Robbie's putting you up. You want to go to the Arnold, Jimmy?
Wow. Wow, that's very generous of him, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can room with, you can be my roommate.
Actually, yeah, Romano needs a roommate, too.
Oh, yeah, we'll fuck together.
Love to have you, Jimmy.
Yeah, come, Jimmy. Yeah.
What?
Come on, Jimmy.
RxMuscle.com, right. Baby.
We got to get him out there. Yeah, we got to put
come
some RxMuscle stuff
on.
Come on,
Jimmy, you got to go. You can't miss the Arnold.
You know, I've been training. I'm feeling good lately too. You know,
back to wow. School. And when we're out there, we'll all do a video of a hardcore old school training video. You, me, Dave, Mr. G.
Yeah.
We're not going to train out there. We
got to. Have you been paying attention to the boards? They're begging us for a training video.
Let me hear you something, Dave. When you go live, a few months from now, right? Hopefully, are we going to take any of the live stuff out on the road? Or is it all going to be filmed in the studio?
I think we can.
On the road.
We'll be on the road too, man.
I mean, because I think it would be a good idea if you filmed some stuff outside the studio as well.
Sure.
And, in the studio and outside. This way they could see us, out on the streets and, doing my thing. And, I think that would be a lot of fun.
No, definitely.
Jimmy, we're going to get, we're all going to get Harleys. And we're going to go in the whack pack on wheels. And we're going to ride. We're going to ride. We're going to do a tour of all the hardcore gyms in New York.
We got to get patches made up, man.
Yeah, man. Whack pack. Yeah.
Robbie, take care of that. That's his avenue. Now, let me ask you a question,
Robbie,
Jimmy.
Yeah, we want to get the leather vest embroidered, the Whack Pack New York on the bottom of the bottom
right.
Rock in New York.
Whack Pack New York.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Definitely.
All right, Jimmy, what's all this crap with Valentino that's going on now? He called me up the other night at 4 in the morning. He calls me that time because he knows I'm up. But, then he keeps me on the phone until like 5. He said that he's telling me that you're afraid to admit something to me about that meal you two had in Little Italy there?
What happened was he's doing a TV show.
Yeah, no, I knew.
I told you about that. He's doing a TV show. We went to go have a Christmas dinner together.
Let's get this all out in the open right now, Jimmy.
Yeah,
come on.
And he's been working on this TV show. I'm not going to lie. And I told you about it because when you guys had the radio show, we were going to try to do this crazy, TV show. You know? And it would have went hand in hand, because I could have bounced back and forth.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's what we were going to do. So when we went in the city that day, he had people with him, and we went from the car to the restaurant, and I had no idea he was going to use those shots for that website thing that he had, you guys saw, and I guess he's going to put some of that in the pilot that he's shooting.
Jimmy.
So I had no idea really what he was doing, because Craig, I love Craig, but he's a little slippery, you got to watch him, man. As big as he is. He's a slippery dude, man. You know what I'm saying?
He's not getting
paid. Jimmy, when I saw those shots,
you got to stand up.
He's like
pictures. One of those street guys. He's one of those street guineas. You got to watch him, man. Because he'll get you involved in a deal without you even knowing it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's not
Jimmy.
Guy,
he almost had you doing a radio show.
Yeah, I love the guy.
Jimmy, when
I
saw those shots, when I saw those pictures, Jimmy,
they look like surveillance shots, didn't they?
What?
I looked at the two. They look like surveillance shots.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. They look like surveillance shots. I was wondering
because he had his guy with one of those fucking $9,000 Japanese lenses standing across the street shooting those pictures. That's why.
No, I'll tell you what really happened. They were videoing them, okay? And what happened is those are stills off the video camera, believe me.
Oh, those are stills off the video.
Yeah. Anyway, I hope Greg can sell the thing. I want to see everyone make money. I'm all for it. That's why, Jimmy, we support you 100% no matter what you do. You know that.
Let's put it this way. I mean, I thought it was a great concept. And then this is all before you guys got canned on the radio show.
Right.
I mean, because we figured that if we'd have this crazy, one-hour TV show, then we'd coordinate with the radio show, And so I thought it was a cool thing at that time, But then nobody had any idea you guys were going to get pumped off the air, So, that is actually, in a way, there's more doors open now for you guys. So you got a little more freedom. If you guys start filming and we do the Whack Pack, other things can happen now with that, really. Now you're not so limited where before you guys had like 2 feet in one shoe on that show.
Well, we had our balls in a knot there. We couldn't do anything.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, am I wrong in saying that? I mean,
you're right.
Kind of limited. Yeah, exactly.
You're right.
So, who knows where we can go from here?
That's right.
We could talk about a lot more things. We've got a little more freedom to talk. So we can take more different avenues,
Not too many gray areas.
Mr. G has a question for you, Jimmy.
Go ahead.
Hey, Big Jimmy.
I got my friends waiting over here. They're all masked up. We gotta hit the road.
One more question.
Jimmy, the alcohol's wearing off, so I'm gonna start getting cold.
All right.
Jimmy, you remember what? There's two Jimmys, right? There's Jimmy the Bull and there's right. Jimmy the Angry Bull.
That's true. I'm on medication for that, believe it or not. You want to laugh?
Jimmy,
go ahead.
What are you on medication for?
So am I, too. We must be taking the same thing.
I'm on medication because I got two different personalities. I got to stay on the medicine to be Jimmy the Bull. When I come off the medicine, if I skip a few days, I become the Angry Bull.
So that's right. So
I start kicking the shit out of people. I start cutting people off the road.
Yeah. Last year.
I'm throwing chairs at my girlfriend. Yeah, I got to get very bad.
Last year, we're going on the plane flight, and we're all going together. And I remember walking in, yo, and here's Jimmy the Bull. And, yo, he's all nice, and everything's going fine. We're talking, laughing. And then the next thing you know, we go on the plane before you, and me and my brother get in a seat, and there's somebody sitting in Jimmy's seat. It was some Arab terrorist-looking guy. So Jimmy the Bull walks up.
The guy looked like a terrorist, though, didn't he?
Right, yeah, he did. So Jimmy walks up, yo, all nice, and he goes, where's my seat? So me and my brother point right there to the guy sitting in the seat, and we start laughing. Jimmy looks at the guy, and like just like on Jaws, when you see the shark's eyes, they look like a doll's eyes. His eyes rolled, man, and Jimmy the Angry Bull came out, and he goes, "This is sand digger." I go, "What the hell is a sand digger?" He said sand digger.
Digger with a D.
He said with a D, not with an A.
Right, we're not using any racial epithets.
No, but that's what he said. Jimmy said sand digger, right? His eyes rolled black, and he screamed at the guy, and then me and my brother laughed, and he goes,
too. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, and he goes to me and my brother, he goes, "You'll have your moment too." And then hits the top of the top of where the luggage stuff is on, it opens up and storms back, right? Like a shark, when the shark is in a feeding frenzy, he gets angry at everybody. It doesn't matter if you're friends, mother, father, sister, brother, kids, don't matter. If you're around when Jimmy the Bull's angry, you gotta get the hell out of there, man.
Because
yeah. And then what happens is 5 minutes later, he forgets everything. Jimmy, you remember that happened? Watch. He probably doesn't remember. You remember that?
He remembers.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
Then they were rubbing his head. Some guy was rubbing his head.
I'm going to tell you a quick story. I was in a bar a few years back. My girlfriend was working there, right? This big guy walks in, probably about, I don't even know how tall he was because I'm not that tall. So he looked tall. So anyway, he had a field jacket on, husky guy walks in, and the owner runs over and says, "Look, you're not allowed in here." Obviously, this guy was barred before. And I was sitting down at the end of the bar. I was drinking my beers. I just got done arguing with my ex-wife or something. I don't know. So I was in the bar, Denise's bartender. And this guy starts giving the owner a hard time. I said, "Look, I'm asking you nicely. You just got to leave, you know." And I'm sitting there listening to this guy, you know, telling him to go fuck yourself, this, that, you know, drunk, get out of my way, you're a punk. And then all of a sudden he said, "You and your fucking whore wife," right?
Oh,
that was
no.
it for me. That was
oh,
it.
No.
I got up off the fucking table. With my left hand, I came up. I gave him an open hand chop to the neck. He was flying about 3 feet in the air, landed on the floor, right? As he started to get up, I started to kick him like a fucking football across the fucking bar. Yeah, I gave the guy no chance to get up. I got him over to the front door, kicked him out the fucking door. The guy rolled out to the sidewalk, right? I go back in the bar. I sit down. I just start drinking my beer like nothing happened. And all of a sudden, I look at the bar. The whole entire bar is standing there with their mouth open looking at me. Because I went from Mr. Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde in 2 seconds. Beat the shit out of this guy. Threw him out. Came back and sat down. I just sat there and had my beer. Continued my beer like nothing was wrong.
That's the true sign of a psychotic, John.
Yes.
That's a true sign of a psychotic.
Yeah, my girlfriend, even my girlfriend was shocked. You know what I mean? So later on we left, she says, "You realize that the whole bar, you shocked the whole bar kicking that guy's ass."
But, you know, there's stories, you know, still circulating around Long Island about the days when you were a bouncer and you used to show up at the club on your night off and drink. Jimmy Quinn tells me a very interesting story about how he used to have to go follow you around after you went drinking in the club.
He's right, yeah. The owner always says to go tell Jimmy, goes, "Please, do me a favor, can you get Jimmy out of here?" I used to beat guys up in the bathroom. I used to go to the women's bathroom. I was out of my mind. Yeah, that's what I used to do. You know, first of all, I used to drink for nothing. That was the fun of going there. I didn't have to pay for my beers.
Well, Jimmy, on that note, the note of beers, why don't you go drink a few more beers with your buddies, and we'll welcome you back next Sunday. Hopefully, you'll make it to the studio.
I definitely will. I won't forget. I'm getting old-timers now. I'm getting old. I'll tie a string around my finger.
All right. I'll send you a few reminders, too.
All right, brother.
All right, Jimmy.
Call me about the Arnold.
What was that?
Call me about the Arnold if you go.
Yeah, we got a room for you, Jimmy.
I will, Bobby. I will, man. I love you guys.
All right, you too, bro.
We got you covered.
All right, Jim.
Drive safe, man.
You guys are back on the air, man. I'm glad.
Thanks,
Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy.
All right, brother.
All right,
brother.
All right, bro.
Well, John, we're at the end of another two-hour episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'd like to thank our guests, Lou Ferrigno, Jimmy the Angry Bull, both of them for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. See you next week.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RxMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.